is all over choice. Welcome back to another episode of Art in Love with Rodney and Nadia. But we are back here with some stuff we just have been thinking on and like to share with you. Enjoy the conversation. What about COVID? COVID is still happening, interestingly enough. It isn't. It hasn't slowed down even.
Nobody at the Kanye rally was 6 feet apart, by the way.
A lot of people aren't 6 feet apart, not backing, so why the numbers are just skyrocketing in terms of increased cases and confirmation and confirmed testing and stuff like that. And it really is. It's just crazy because now the new norm is about to be the norm, whereas we thought this happened in March when the lockdowns first started happening in March. February is when it really came on this side of the world. March is when it really took it serious in terms of people started stopping to do the normal do. Now we're now in July, we're a couple of days away from August. And it's like we aren't any closer towards the end of it than we were back in March.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things, and I think people got tired of the quarantining, so they went back to, but the thing is, they went back to as if nothing happened. It's not as if they went back to their regular activities with safety precautions. They just went back to the regular activities with no precautions, and now that caused it to whereas they flatten the curve. And give the science people credit, they said that we flattened the curve, and it did flatten the curve. And when we moved away from it, it went back to cases are increasing. They saw Florida a couple of days had like 10,000 a day on average for a couple of days. We over here, 20 is average, 20 but 30 a day is average now for the last couple of days. And that's scary in terms of confirmed cases, mainly because you still don't know the long-term implications of it.
Yeah.
You still don't know how it's going to impact your body when it's done. You don't know how you fully heal from it. And that's the scary part about it. You don't know.
No, because they alluded to the fact that there's some neurological damage that could happen. There's some long-term lung damage that could happen as well, respiratory issues. So we are really just at the tip of the iceberg with this thing in terms of what we're seeing, symptoms and the implications of what's going to happen to our bodies 5 years later, 10 years later. Like, we don't know because we don't know much about this thing. So there's this mad dash to get vaccines and trial tests started. And, you know, I'm really hoping that a solution comes up, a good one. Well, you know, but one that doesn't have too many like side effects and whatnot. But at the rate that we're going, everything has been disrupted, right? Mm-hmm. The economy, the education system, tourism for us. But, and everybody's trying to find a way to still hold it together, you know, and make it work. Because at the end of the day, we have to live. And the beautiful thing about the human race is that we're made to evolve. You know, we have to be adaptable and flexible and change. It's not easy, though. She's like, I want a snacky snack.
Okay, so, pause, right? So we're talking about the COVID tourism. I thought this was a good chance to look at how we do things over there. It was always thrown around that we should diversify the economy. Not necessarily throw tourism away, just find something else.
Mm-hmm.
As they tell you, it's always good to have multiple streams of income, mm-hmm. or multiple tables on the legs on the table, just to add more support. Our main leg is tourism. Like, we lean heavily on tourism. COVID impacted tourism because the whole thing to combat COVID is to restrict movement. Tourism is based on movement.
Okay.
So the fact that we cannot move or cannot receive people, or what makes it even worse now is that our biggest influx or our biggest supply of tourists was North America, USA. As it stands right now, unless it's changed recently, out of the 193 countries who permit international travel. Only 5 countries allow U.S. citizens to come in the country.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Like five?
Yeah, a lot of people stop.
Like one hand?
Yeah. It might be different now, but a lot of people were saying, oh, you're from the States, you can't come in, or you have to quarantine for X amount of... Like, it wasn't as equal there.
Huh.
So that's why it wasn't when the government said, you know what, people from the U.S. can't come on commercial flights. It wasn't such a big move because that was the standard practice. But that changed, obviously. But it's like because, and the reason why it happened, because their numbers has been the worst. Even though they didn't start there, like they eclipsed Europe. Europe was like, I think, 2 months ahead of them in terms of the influx. And then they doubled Europe by maybe June. Not double, but they equal Europe numbers by maybe June or so. So that's...
Why do you think that is?
Because people tied the whole quarantining and wearing a mask with politics. They really politicized that. So me wearing a mask is an infringement of my rights.
Okay.
Opposed to not just me trying to be safe.
Do you think that the COVID-19 pandemic is being politicized here now?
Yes and no. I mean, the handling of it, yeah. Towards the end, the beginning, it wasn't. I think it is now because the conversation, I haven't tapped into the higher ups, but like on the ground level. Mm-hmm. The kind of stuff people say is like, it's like, they don't give the administration the credit they deserve on one hand.
Mm.
And on the other side, they don't give them the oversight that they should give them. Whereas just some persons who are like overly critical of what or how it's been handled, as if it was easier solutions to be made.
Mm.
Then you have the other side, like who are like just want to really wash it all on one side, say, well, you know, there's no wrongs being done. So I honestly think it's hard. I honestly think it's tough.
I would like for our people to be more objective. So I totally agree. First of all, it's a global pandemic. This is new. This is not something that people in our generation would have dealt with on this scale. Let's qualify that, right? Secondly, there's no manual to this. countries that have been around much longer and have many more resources than we have handled it and got it wrong and had to fix it.
US? Perfect example.
US, China, Italy, like many,
everybody
else. Everybody, it's been, it's hard. There's no COVID manual, you know? So my thing is, the government is doing the best that it can do, right? I think. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree.
Can they do better? Yes. I am sure they can. Do we know how they can do better? We're not quite sure. But we just know that this isn't it. You understand? But do I feel confident that they are making some moves in the right direction? I do feel that way. To some degree or some level, I do feel confident in the leadership. And then sometimes they do some things that make me question, like, what's happening? Because now I feel like it's all turning into party politics as it relates to the handling of Bahamians versus tourists.
Mm. The orders.
Okay.
The interpretation.
So my thing is, you can't tell me I can't come out of my yard and I can't do this and that. And then, like, you got tourists hopping fences or tourists having weddings and, like, some persons weren't able to. They're like, hey, you could have write a letter. Hey, when did you tell us we could have write a letter? Yeah. You know, like, so there's many different things that are happening in that regard that I disagree with. I totally do disagree with. Then there's the things like, you know, I can get why you're saying, okay, maybe we don't need to go on a beach. Because there's many people who are arguing over the fact that we don't. Why are they taking away our right to go on the beach? You know, the Bahamians. I don't know if y'all have driven the coast.
Bruh.
I mean, naturally congregate. There's a tent that just pops up out of the sand. There is the grill going. There is, you know, a car blasting some music. There's the liquor there. The people standing close. Not going in the water. Fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have no intention, but you're styling and profiling, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of that has been happening all over our beaches. So I get it. Mm-hmm. So some of the things... I wish our people would like use common sense and understand, like, okay, I could see why they said this, right? But then two, I also want the government to go into details on why they made some decisions. Agreed. So I was like, yeah, I kind of want my cake and eat it too. Because, you know.
To that, I don't even think that's the case of cake and eat it too. I think what the government should have done is a better PR job. I think they should have said, and one person can't do all these things, obviously, but they should have, that should be in part of it. In hindsight, it's always 2020. Right. Whereas you say, these are the executive orders. Parliament said, this is what you got to do. Really, Prime Minister, this is what you have to do. And then somebody comes in a nice infomercial, a nice 30-second, 1 minute ad to say, this is why you can't go on the beaches. This is why you can't go to the family islands. This is why. And give people that. Give people, educate people. Mm-hmm. I'm big on education. I mean, it could be my background, but if you educate people to give them a chance to understand,
yes.
You can't just say you can't travel to the family island. Like, why? Because I would not actually ask you why. Mm-hmm. So if you just say, because I say so, that's a problem. And I think that's where a lot of the pushback coming. I think, rightfully so, that's why a lot of people are saying, well, okay, we can't be totalitarian, we can't be like this king mindset. It's okay then. We just shutting stuff down because you say shut it down. But if you say, you know what, we're closing into island travel because the last time the holiday happened, a lot of people went to the family islands because they're going to go to the beaches in Nassau. Now we have cases
throughout
the islands now mm-hmm. that potentially is tied to that July 10th holiday when people's traveling yes. to the family island. I think we said that preamble saying that or somebody explaining that just being more digestible.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what? You're probably right. I should ease up on it. You're probably right. But we just say, you can't go to the beach. It's like you're leaving the door open. It's okay. And now somebody's going to say, but why?
Yeah.
But why? And the thing is, all you need is a sliver of doubt for someone to say, this will make no sense. And it doesn't make sense. So I agree. Certain things should be closed. Like, I agree the border should be closed. I agree the beaches should be closed. I agree that these things that happen. I don't agree that you just have this blanket statement indefinitely closed.
Right.
I know you don't know the answers, but you still have to give me an answer. Like, you can't tell me when COVID's going to stop, but you need to say, based on the projections we've gotten, if we do this by this, we should be straight by then.
Yes.
I think that's always a part of the problem because it's just like...
And then, like, you get persons to buy in. So if you tell me now... listen, if we take this thing seriously, if we all do our part and we do X, Y, and Z, the curve is going to go down. And at least by here, we should see a difference. Now, if by here, we don't see a difference, now we have to do some stronger measures.
Yeah.
You know, we have to take some stronger actions and maybe we need to do a little bit more. But like, I feel...
That wasn't said.
But I feel I appreciate the fact that the Ministry of Health has been showing us graphs and everything like that. So, like, we get to look at the data that you are looking at, right? I appreciate that. But, like, and then I also need somebody named Layman who's going to break down the terms to be right there along with the sign language lady who's going to break this down even more. Like, who's going to be that person who's, listen, you need to stay in your yard because X, Y, and Z, and then this is going to happen, and we're going to get to a better state, and then we could be good, and then we could have a big beach party. Like, but
what I don't like is that they took the raw data and give you the raw data. They took the data. 40 people got corona. 40 people traveled. That's what happened. Like, you didn't analyze that at all.
No.
You didn't break it down at all. They didn't say 40 people traveled, potentially 10 people traveled. You know what? This probably means that.
Yeah.
Like, that conversation didn't happen, and then... If you'd have said from March, saying the exact same thing you're saying, by July we should be fine. And if July don't come, then we can say, you know what, they told us by July. And we ain't know we supposed to do, so we understand. But what you're doing now, you're saying 30 days, 60 days, 10 days, by the weekend, 30 days. Now it's just that start Monday. When does it end? It starts Monday. It does have an ending. It starts Monday. So it's like, come on, man. You're going to get the natural pushback because it's going to be like, this doesn't make sense. And what makes it worse, and I guess is their frustration too. Nobody knows the answers. But heavy is the ground of the person in the seat. Like, that's your job to find these answers. So you can't say that you had a medical presentation done in the night and you don't bring back no footnotes on the medical presentation. If they don't know, then say they don't know. They say, you know what, this ain't getting worse, then say it's getting worse. It's getting better, say it's getting better. If you don't know, say we don't know. Because if you say, you know what, we still don't know what this virus does, we still need to take the same measures we took back in March.
Yes.
Fine. NIB isn't meant to sustain a third of the Bahamian working population. This has to be, we have to have people back in work by 2 months. Mm-hmm. Say stuff with that. Because I only can speculate that.
Yeah.
I only can look at the budget and assume that, you know what, NIB contributions ain't gonna be paid for so long.
Right.
Or hotels ain't gonna afford to be closed for so long.
Mind you know, NIB has a fund, and the government is actually pumping money into that fund right now to help things out. But of course, this is not the purpose of it. You know, it's not meant to do this forever again. So yes, the economy has to open to some level. So it goes back to persons coming in and tourism happening. But now with tourism happening, you have the movement of persons around the country. And so that's like you having a house and you have closed your front door, mm-hmm. but all your windows and your back door is open. And like there's a swarm of flies coming in and you close the front door. And you're cooking fish. No candlelight or nothing. And so you close one door. So
you can't go next door, so you have to come in.
Hey, worse. We can't come out the house, but the flies could come in.
That's essentially. That's a very good point.
Oh, man.
That's actually a very good point.
But anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
Leave it, go.
you took my point away by saying it, but no, it's true. And then, like I said, it's hard and it's difficult on the song, but it's something that still has to be addressed and has to have some sort of game plan towards it. And I still say if the government say, you know what, we have to pump money into this and pump money into that, one thing I don't like is that how things are said and how things are received. When the government says they have to put money into the NIB contribution, mm-hmm. NIB fund, they don't have money to pull from. When the government pumps money, that money is coming from the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
So all that means is like, and this is a conversation that needs to happen.
Like the government just came and brought money to the table.
They have no money to the table. They say, that's like your child saying, you know what, I need to buy. Your child telling you, I'm going to buy this new door for the front door.
Right.
For the front house. The door is needed, mind you. Child's okay, I'm buying a new door for the front. I say, cool. Put the what money you have. You give me money by the door. Like, I didn't budget money for this door.
Mm-hmm.
So now I gotta find money for this door. So now I gotta put things around, make arrangements. And what else gonna happen is that now the government's gonna look at their budget next year and be, you know what? We're in a deficit by X amount of dollars. We need to find a way to make more money. One of the laziest, and I don't even see how this productive way is to make money, is to raise taxes. So whereas VAT was raised as soon as they came in office, VAT's gonna be raised again when they come out of office.
Who are we taxing?
It's everyone who said it. To tax itself out of to tax the people out of depression, a recession, so it's like you're trying to pull up a bucket while you're sitting in the bucket.
Who are we taxing?
But where else again? That because they're
working?
Taking money from us.
Who working?
The few people who are working. That's just your tax work.
You know what it's like? It's like them small churches who want to have a mega church built. Mm-hmm. But we only got but 17 members.
Yeah, 12, you got 12 members. Five your people. One is a pastor. One is a pastor wife. One is a deacon. One is a deacon wife. One is an assistant pastor. That's the 5 members who make up the 17. So it's like.
So who are we taxing to make this mega church?
You have a church that can sit 7,000 people.
With air conditioning and speaker system, listen.
Wi-Fi.
But it's still going to be the same 17 members.
And that's just a problem we have now. Because keep in mind, too, beyond the COVID, the Dorian thing that's happened, they shut out a lot of money for Hurricane Dorian as well.
Yeah. We did get a lot of assistance, too, though. That's not a...
So, and then the thing is, and this is why I guess, annoyed when these things are made known. So you might say, going back to, say, the church, right? That's what you're saying, but you know, the church making the 7,000-seater church, mm-hmm. but the church getting assistance from it. Who they give the money to? Someone can say, you know what, I give Lay Down Water Spreading Ministries $7,000 to go to watch a thing. Who you give it to? I give it to the church. Who you give it to in the church?
Because
That depends on where the money went. So whereas you got a lot of assistance, who got the assistance? Where did the money go? That's like, why was a lot of assistance too? But if it went to the consolidated fund, then it means it got lost in the books. So, like, now I'm sure we got a lot of assistance with Hurricane Dorian. I'm sure some sort of assistance is being made because America gave us $12 to go towards something. So, it's like, assistance is coming, but, like, where is this money going?
Did you see the tweet from the lady who said, when we had closed it, our borders to commercial flights,
I saw that.
And she was like, well, they better not come asking for any money from us the next time a hurricane hits them. Oh, the three-letter movement from Bahamian Twitter. Came for her.
Usually people like that are the people who don't donate anyway.
I'm telling you.
So it's just those people who just want something to say. And you have a lot of people backlashing those kind of decisions. I mean, that goes back to they are in the sun, how it's happening. Mom, you probably never even traveled to the Bahamas
before. Okay.
One, you probably don't have a passport for two. And three, if you were to come on a one-day cruise, you're supposed to spend money over there anyway. So it's like, thank you, but no thank you. If you have that kind of mindset towards a country trying to be safe, then you don't need to come over
here. Yeah, I mean, because let's just say, right, any visitor that normally frequents the Bahamas knows that, and especially our family of islands, knows that the healthcare facilities that we have are for us and is like barely keeping us up, right? So we really can't take and then talk about the healthcare providers, right? Because, you know, every so often they have a rotation of persons going into quarantine who work in healthcare because they are very much so on the front line. So taking all of that into account, why would you then want to travel to a country where if you get sick, we cannot guarantee that we can give you the best care?
Or any.
That's, you're putting yourself at risk and then you're going to put us at risk
too. Just to go to a beach.
I mean, like, sis, we can do this another time. It doesn't have to be this year. We will gladly welcome you with discounts and a printed shirt next year.
As Bahamian shirt. 2 days that one, I saw someone responded who was not a Bahamian saying, be on understand this. Their population isn't small, meaning the Bahamas isn't that big. If an outbreak were to happen, I can wipe out an island.
Okay.
If Florida had 10,000 cases plus a day, we have so much people who live in Nassau. So if we had what happened in Florida and Nassau, that shut it down.
Yeah.
Especially that's a 1-2 punch from
Hurricane Dorian. And if you think our economy is suffering now, could you imagine us losing 10,000 good Bahamian souls?
Yeah, we lost 11. And I was like, that's tough. 11 deaths from COVID is like, wow, that's a lot. Imagine that number would be triple or quadruple.
Come on, you know, we're just concerned about our country. We love our tourists. We hope to diversify our economy, and it will in the years to come. But until then, we're going to keep ourselves safe. We're going to try to work it out for the tourists who are daring to come. We're going to try to work it out and be safe, and for our customer service and hospitality and our medical staff, you know, we want to thank you for putting yourself out there at risk as well during this whole situation. And hopefully it comes to an end soon.
Yeah. And even so, anybody who has to go on the front line, whether you work in a hospital, the clinic, the bank, food store, you a water depot, prayers to be with you, and because that anything dealing with people during this time right now should be scary for one, frustrating, and then something that just is a necessary evil. So it's difficult, and I hope we all have that collective empathy, that collective love to say, wait, we are all in this together. I don't benefit if you're sick, you don't benefit if I'm sick. Let's do what we can and be responsible to make sure we get through this, like you say, and we see it to the end. And to the leaders, like, we know you guys are trying. We want you to try harder. But just allow us to understand what's happening as well, too. You don't have to tell us everything, but tell us something that's happening. And I think if you give the collective people a chance to understand, you won't get 100% buy-in, but you have more people buying in the pushing back. And to the opposition, please, man, give more suggestions. And this isn't the time to now bid or the path pave your way to the seat. This is time now to help everybody get out of this hole, because as much as you might want to win in upcoming elections, if you don't get through this, there wouldn't be much of a Bahamas to lead in about 2 years. Thank you for listening to Are In Love with Rodney and Nadia. And if you like what you heard, make sure subscribe so you can be notified when more episodes come out. Leave a comment, rate it. We appreciate all the feedback, and we will talk to you soon. Yeah.